what Brooklyn sounds like.
Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. My guest is already laughing. I love this. I'm feeling so good now. Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Lisa, and you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. I got to do the pitch because this radio station is a 401c, and you know, it's the greatest radio station in the Western Hemisphere. And go to radiofreebrooklyn.org, just all spelled out, just like it sounds, and donate some money and check out our shows, you know, because we're a really awesome station and totally nonprofit. We don't get paid. Oh, yeah, there's that. We just do it out of love, you know, like pretty much what you're doing right now, watching television. You do that out of love, love for television and entertainment. So anyway, I just want you to know also, just really quickly, I'm on week 9 of my Invisaligners. They are driving me crazy at this point. It's starting to make me a little depressed. You know, there's something about it that's just like, but they are really, really working. So I'm on week 9. I got one more week to go, supposedly, and then hopefully I'll be free. But I can tell, I don't know if you can tell, but it sounds a little funny. It sounds a little funny, but I'm okay with that. I have to wear them 22 hours a day, and I'm not taking them off for this podcast.
Do they get tighter? Like,
yeah, every week. Yeah. Every week you get a new one.
I would hate that.
I know. No, it's not. It's totally worth it, though. I think.
Okay. Well, that's.
And there's also this little, like, masochistic, self-deprecating, badge of honor that you get for yourself. You know, so it makes you feel good because you're denying. And I lost 5 pounds.
Because you just don't want to put food in your mouth.
Because you can't snack. I lost 5 pounds.
This is not the product for me. I disagree with it on a fundamental level.
Anyway, so this is my guest who I'm so thrilled to have here, Kelsey Kane.
Kelsey Kane. I didn't wait for my intro.
No, don't wait. Don't wait for me to intro you because it could be like at the last 5 minutes. I mean, I could just go off on, you never know. But anyway, Kelsey is just a lovely, fabulous comedian. She's a rare combination of somebody who's really nasty and cynical and just in her own hilarious way, but just so generous and supportive in like the most corniest way. What is that?
I think cornies are really good. I think a lot of people are like, well, you're so lame.
You're so corny and cynical together. But anyway, I just want to go through this really quickly. Why Kelsey is here, or what the story is of Kelsey. So Kelsey was here on November 15th.
Thanks for having me. That was really fun.
Yeah, and she was late because it was the one snowstorm fucking blizzard we had all year, right?
And I'm like such a Texan. I was like, is it canceled? Is it? It's snowing. Is it?
Canceled.
Do they have radio anymore now?
So anyway, I re-listened to it today, and I, as I was telling Kelsey before she came on here, is that I was really like, I felt verklempt for her. Because like mostly because I think I'm just going to say your mother is a goddess. Like, where is your mother? We should call her up.
I'm going to send that audio clip to her.
I think your mother, because the thing that I got out of this is that Kelsey and I bonded because we both competed in pageants, quote unquote, beauty pageants, but Kelsey did it in like on a large scale, New York State or New York?
Yeah, Miss New York USA.
Miss New York USA. And she wore like a really shitty gown and made fun of the whole thing. And they tried to kick her off, but they couldn't. And they tried to humiliate her. And it was just the most funniest, bestest thing. So Kelsey like took on all this humiliation just to make this point of how stupid it was. And I was just struck by how...
I was not humiliated.
Well, no.
Should I have been?
Yeah. We agreed then that neither of us can be humiliated. We bonded on that.
I have very little shame.
Yeah. No, I mean, you should be, of course, you're proud of it. I get it. Look, I sat on a toilet naked in public, so come on. I mean, humiliation isn't in my, you know, we don't do humiliation.
It's like how to be so proud of something that would be like most people's most devastating moment of their lives.
I know, but you know, so anyway, it just really impressed me the quiet, like this sort of like confidence that you take it for granted, but I think a lot of it is because you were saying that your mother really
told you
were beautiful. Your mother gave you a lot of reinforcement.
I do not take it for granted.
You don't. That's true.
I'm very, very happy.
No, you're right. Because she said on the show, I'm remembering now, you said also that you realize like not a lot of people have mothers like that.
Not a lot of people are very confident. A lot of people's moms put it in them to just think they're great for, you know, I would say no reason, kind of. Mm-hmm. I mean, my mom did... You know, there was like a sense of right and wrong for sure. So
right.
It was not like anything I did was great. I remember getting punished.
Well, I'm sure. Are you kidding? You're probably the worst pain in the ass kid ever. But the thing is that your mother would tell you you're beautiful. But it sounded like you got to understand it in a way that it was really it was holistically beautiful, not just.
Well, I know what you mean because I recognize it because when I babysit these kids, I really have grown, you know, I've like watched them grow a little bit, these three little sisters, and they're beautiful. They have this big, beautiful curly hair. And I always used to tell them, I was like, what are the most important things? And I just saw them recently and they said, hey, we remember the most important things. Being funny, being smart, and being nice.
Wow.
And then I would also caveat it. I was like, a lot of people are going to say this, so you got to just be aware of it. Being pretty is not important, but a lot of people think it is. And that's why they're going to say you're so pretty all the time.
Oh, my God.
And they said it back to me. And like one of them's in middle school now. And I was like, wow, hold on to that.
She looked emotional, folks. Are you feeling emotional about that?
I only would have remember these thoughts because of you. Like, this is not stuff that I talk about very much.
But here's what I also said to Kelsey when I first saw, you know, today, before she was on the air, I said that what's really great is to see the way this is being passed down, the way Kelsey is a vehicle. I mean, not just a vehicle, but also, I mean, she's passing it down. But it's like the opposite of what a lot of people pass down, like their parents beat them and then they beat their kids. With Kelsey, it's the opposite. Her mom gave her like all this great, what's important, values and confidence. And confidence isn't really the right word. I don't know what it is. But so, and now Kelsey's passing it down. And so, like, this is what I want to tell you guys. Get your shit together. And, like, values are really good. Values will serve you better than anything else. Right? You agree with that?
I mean, I can't say you're wrong, I think.
I think it's really important.
I take a lot of solace in thinking, like, it really doesn't matter so much what people think about me because I know I'm trying to do good stuff.
There you go.
I'm at least trying. Like, I am definitely not perfect.
No. And you're trying in like such a like fuck you way, which is the best part of the whole thing.
I love the way you see me. It's like both flattering and I'm like terrifying. I'm like, oh no.
Well, you're not boring. I mean, you're not like you're a force of nature. You're not like, so here's Kelsey's latest project, which we're going to talk about now that I think I got you guys get who she is, right? I think I explained who she is.
I feel
is.
Like they got it.
They
like,
got it.
How
could they not? I didn't mince words here. I do want to meet your mom. Is she in Texas?
Yeah, she. Next time she comes in town, I'll tell you. She can come on the pod.
Really?
Yeah.
I would love to have her on. Will you?
She would think it was such a like treat, you know?
Really? Oh, this great. Would like I would love thing. To meet your mom.
Yeah.
She could be giving out some mommy tips.
She would be just as excited to be here as I am. Aww. You know, she would be pumped.
Oh, God. I have a painting that says, my shrink says compliments make me psychotic. My parents didn't like me, but anyway, so let's get down to like what's going on in Kelsey's life right now, which is really, really, really relevant and really, really important. I'm just going to explain it really superficially, and then
go. I want to hear it. Go for it.
Kelsey is going to, but I want to hear like She just came back from a tour, right?
Yeah.
A comedy tour. Where were you?
It was really great. We did, it was my writing partner slash boyfriend and I, Martin Urbano. Mm-hmm. And then
he's so cute. He's hot.
He's hot.
He looks like a nice guy.
You know, we've been dating now for a long time. When I first started dating him, he was like 30 or 40 pounds heavier.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, he's so cute. And then he lost all this weight and everyone was like, oh, he looks so much better. I was like, shut the fuck up.
He's
super hot the whole time.
You guys moved here from Texas together, right?
I moved here first and then he moved here.
But you knew each other.
Yeah, yeah. So, we were dating in Texas.
Yeah, first. So yeah. There's no getting in the middle of that, guys. They are committed. They went through this together.
I honestly think I watched someone because of this endeavor I'm doing. We're just about to talk about a comedian try to convince him to stop dating me.
Oh, really?
They were like, we're really worried about your career.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, so we got to get to, like, the meat of it, what Kelsey's doing. So Kelsey had this genius idea, and this was just recently, like, the last time she was on the show.
I started doing this in January.
Talk about it at all. It's really smart, really conceptual, really, really hilarious. So she has this character, if you don't know, and I think a lot of people listening do know, it's been out there and it's gotten a lot of attention. It's called Penis CK. So Kelsey puts on like a, you know, orange colored wig and facial hair, just like Louis CK. And the gist of it, and I posted a lot of links on my stuff about her, so you got to go look at it, but you got to see it. And it's basically her, the gist of it, the most important, the punchline is her jerking off in front of the audience and all the, you know, attitude around that Louis CK would have had. So you describe it better.
Yeah,
but
no, you did a pretty good job. You did a good job of setting it up. The only thing that I would add to it, just for clarity, because this is the questions I get immediately. So when I do this character the last few times, based on like how it went and stuff, because it's like, you know, you have to try.
Well,
it's not something I could do at open mics.
Oh, you can't? You can't?
Oh, no. Comedians hate it the most.
Comedians hate it?
I'm making fun of a comedian.
Get the fuck out. That's shocking to me.
I know. It's kind of insane. It is interesting. So like I've broken this comedian can't make fun of other comedians
code. My God. I had no idea.
And I just feel like, you know, sex offenders are really on the table. Like,
I'm really surprised
the
by that.
Thing to make fun of.
I'm really surprised by that. So just so I understand. Okay.
So, well, when I do it, so I go, before I do it, I have either, if I'm not hosting the show, then I have whoever is hosting the show ask if the whole audience wants to see a character called Penis CK. And if you don't want to see it, and it is what you think it is, it's going to be someone dressed up in a parody of a very famous comedian jerking off a dildo.
So I ask the audience for consent.
I'm gonna do
brilliant.
It and that way if they want to leave, and people have left, and I totally understand that, and most people have stayed because they're like, no, we want to see what's gonna happen.
Leave people. Yeah. Okay.
So I tell them ahead of time, and then when I get on stage, I do like one joke where I'm just basically like, look, it's me, a sex offender. And then I'm like, you guys are gonna love this joke. Who wants to watch me jerk off? And then I start doing, I ask too, and I'm like, I'm asking if you want to watch this. If you didn't want to watch it, you would leave. This is on you. And I just do it, and I'm like, this is exactly what he did.
But also, I got to tell you something, guys, the dildo is so perfect. You must have really picked the perfect penis. I mean, it's the right size. It's the right everything.
I went in to my local, you know, beautiful, regular sex shop. And I was like, can you show me to your smallest white man's penis?
Oh, really? That's it?
And the sex shop worker was so like, he did not want to give it to me. And I
what
was
do you
like,
mean?
I was like, why are you being so weird? Kind of. And he was like, look, I have to tell you, that one's not going to get you off. And I was like, oh my God, what a sweet man.
Oh my
God. He like
that
doesn't even
so
want me to buy it.
Weird.
He's like, there's better ones. There's a bunch of vibrators here. Same cost. Don't do it. And I was like, no, like, you're so nice. Like, honestly, like, I'll leave a Yelp review on you. And I did, just like, that's nicest man.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
But I had to buy it. You know, I was like, I'm sorry, this is for work.
And he was like embarrassed to sell it.
And his face was just like, oh, okay, I get it.
You know, it's really interesting because he was doing a lot of projecting with you there.
I know. I just think he was just like, I want this girl to have a good time. Like, this is going to be such
maybe
a bummer.
Maybe he wanted to.
I mean, I came in that looking so like weird. A noob, you know. I was like, I want this very specific, very lame thing. You know,
funny
I wasn't
that
even
they...
like looking around. I was like, show me it.
But you know, that's also what's sort of awesome about it is that it doesn't look like any dildo I've ever really seen or, you know.
It's, I mean, who is buying?
It really just looks like a fake penis.
Based on the responses, like, I doubt people are really buying this product.
Can I ask how much, like, what was it?
So the first one I bought, I think, was like $25.
Oh, okay. The first one. Oh, you have a collection now?
We went on tour and we planned the tour before I came up with this character. Like, you keep saying, like, it's new, and it really was. And I was like, am I going to do Penis CK while I'm on this national tour with other people? And like, yes, I totally did do it. And, you know, I packed so badly that I didn't even bring my costume. And then I had to go in Texas and recreate this costume.
Oh my God.
But this is how good my boyfriend is. He made it happen. He like took me to Party City. He took me to a sex shop. He was
love
like,
him.
We got to get you all the stuff, Kels.
Oh, because she knows how good it is.
Yeah. It's just like so. And I was like, you know, sometimes you win some, you lose some. He's like, no, this is super important.
Okay. I want to understand one thing because I am surprised that comedians are put off by this. So, just explain this to me. So we all I want to ask you a question that I think will help. That will help explain this. So anyway, so Louis C.K. Performed. I'm telling the people. So Louis C.K. Performed. He came back and he performed at the Comedy Cellar, the big place that comedians perform at, like a big.
The you best know, comedy club in the world.
And he there was all this backlash that he shouldn't have done that, and why did they let him and all that. So
after he admitted to jerking off in front of lots of women who were working for him.
Right.
On a pretty consistent basis where a lot of them, their careers were ruined after that.
Exactly. So I kind of assumed, I guess, that I thought the comedy community, a lot of it would think that was fucked up. What did the comedy community think about that?
They, you know, didn't think much.
They thought it was fine. Everybody kind of said, Jen.
There were people at the club that were like, what, you know, he's the most famous comedian. What are we going to tell him? He can't work. And they just kept, you know, hiring him. That's like how the Comedy Cellar handled the situation.
And nobody,
and the first time he ever performed again, he just came to the Comedy Cellar and just went up on a show that he was not, his name was not listed on.
Mm-hmm.
So my understanding is that he learned nothing about consent.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
still forcing himself on people.
And
after being an admitted sex offender.
He still does. Oh, yeah. Well, are you?
I'm considering jerking off in front of your coworkers in closed rooms, being a sex offender.
That is a sex offender. Absolutely.
It's like
women,
a
you have
very
power
easy
over.
Definition of a sex offender.
So were women comedians outraged or that he was back at the Cellar?
Yeah. It was so upsetting. They're, you know, noted amazing feminist author Roxane Gay wrote a piece about it for the New York Times. Amazing comedian Aparna Nancherla wrote a piece about it for the New York Times. Both of them like, do you just not care about the women in this industry?
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be what you're saying. Like, that was the gist of both mm-hmm. of them. I mean, I suggest reading them because I read them like once a month.
And then were men okay with it, or who was okay with it?
A lot of men, you know, it seemed like the men in comedy were like, yeah, that's fucked up, but like he admitted it. And it's like, what? That's the worst part, kind of. Like,
wow.
They're like, he said he did it. What are you, not even taking that as an apology?
Wow.
And then, like, there was this response, like, what did he even do? That was my, that was what my character is born of. What did he even do?
Because he didn't touch anybody.
Right. They're like, he asked, he jerked off in front of these people. Like, that's fine, I think. And it's like, who hasn't done that? And it's like, so you're just saying... behavior I find to be like sex offender behavior is actually fine and everyone's actually doing it.
Wow.
So my character is based on putting that in front of people and being like, okay, what do you think of this?
Right.
And people do not like it.
So what's the, so tell us about it. What's the experience? What happened when you were touring?
So, when I was touring, it was really great. I got to do it in a lot of different places. Like I had just basically done it in New York for like maybe like a month and a half or something mm-hmm. before we went on tour, maybe 2 months. And I really did cover like, I probably did like 40 shows.
And how were your other tour mates?
Oh, my other two mates, they were delightful.
They were thrilled.
I mean, I asked them if I could do it. They were definitely apprehensive before they saw the act, which I totally understood.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I did it was in Texas with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really amazing comedians. You should follow them both. Daniel Webb and Maggie May. They're mm-hmm. both killing it in LA.
I'm sure.
Late Night, Comedy Central, the whole shebang. Yeah, like, right. Go look them up.
Yeah.
And so the first time I did it, I was like, I'll host the show and then do Penis CK right before the closer.
Uh-huh.
And then that way it doesn't really mess up the flow of the middle of the show.
Right.
It didn't just mess up the closer, but then also then the show doesn't have to close on it.
Right.
Because I also feel like that's not like the funnest thing to give people like a mind puzzle.
That was smart.
And so the other comedians on it then got to watch it like after they had performed for the first time with me. And they were like, yeah, this is fine. We like this.
Mm-hmm.
It was obviously like the crowd enjoyed it. It went well. You know, standing ovation kind of thing.
Really?
Like,
so did
that
it,
one
was
went
it,
very
would
well.
You, it sounds like it could...
I mean, standing, could you say, sitting, just clapping.
Could you say
I mean,
it was
it
a hit?
Like a
did
of,
it stand... It's very highly original.
I mean...
Was it a hit?
When people like it, they love it. And when people don't like it, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
I can't disagree. I'm like so aware of the fact this isn't something... And the reasons people don't like it are really interesting.
What...
So like to me, why I do it and I say this like very publicly is I'm trying to trigger sex offenders. I'm trying to make you feel bad. If you are a sex offender, if you treat people poorly sexually, if you sexually dominate people in a way that is harassment and attack, this is not going to be something that's easy to watch.
Wow, that's like really well thought out.
It's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to think, I do that, and she's saying I'm a bad person? Is that what's happening?
Well, you really are literally, almost literally, holding up mirror.
It is very
metaphorically,
it is,
but sort of literally.
But I can't say that everyone who doesn't like it is a sex offender, because that's incorrect.
No, but I...
Lots of people don't like it.
No, but it... the thing is like, I could see maybe people... Like, comedy is a, you know, it's a... taste, but if so, somebody might not think it was like the greatest, funniest thing they'd ever seen. But people, the idea of people having strong negative reactions,
yeah, a lot stronger than to other kinds of stand-up comedy I've seen.
Right, it's not that
where the content to me is similar. Like when people are like, "I can't believe you do this. This is so horrible." I'm like, you know, a lot of comedy isn't for everyone. I've listened to about, I would say, over 1,000 live rape jokes where the joke is on this victim being raped.
Right,
where
right.
I'm like, I don't think this joke was for me.
Right.
Sorry, Kevin. I didn't like it.
Kevin Hart?
No, not specific. No, I wasn't trying. I was just trying to say
did
any
he,
guy
did he,
comedian.
Did he wind up in... Yeah, let's not trash Kevin Hart. I don't know anything.
Watched Night School. I liked it. Did you see that movie?
No, I don't know. But anyway...
I watch all the movies.
Good. No, I mean, I think a good comedian would know the whole genre of all that stuff.
I really like Tiffany Haddish.
Of what?
Tiffany Haddish. She's
she's great. So what about like the first time you performed it? Where was that? What was that like?
The first time I ever performed, well, the first thing that I did with the character was when Louis C.K. started, he came back with this apology that wasn't an apology. It was just sucked so much. And so that's, and I really wanted to write a think piece about that. so badly, and I tried really hard. I tried really fast, right, mm-hmm. to the New York Times. I was like, oh, maybe they'll like me.
Yeah.
No, they took these great other people who definitely should. But then I was like, man, I have so much to say about this. And I was like, oh, I know what we should do. And I was like, we'll do the opening of his show. I don't, mm-hmm. honestly, I don't even want to say his name because that's I okay. feel like I'm probably going to get sued about this. And it is a parody of a general sex offender comedian.
Okay. Yes.
It's
yes.
Very general.
I see that. That makes sense.
I would
to
never
me.
Say anyone's name specifically.
No, I get that.
No one's name is penis.
But it's a great opening and I have it right. posted.
It's a great opening. And so I parodied it and, I parodied the song, you know,
and song
we
is...
went over. So it was me and my boyfriend, who's a hilarious comedian. He's like filming me jerking off on the streets of New York, like just jerking this
so
dildo.
Real.
And I'm like, unlike the actual person this is based on parody wise, I'm super worried about public indecency and such, like looking out, making sure there's no children. Like,
oh, right. And,
I'm like,
right.
I like extra care about scarring people.
Yeah, you're doing it on the street for real.
I know. And so it's like, I'm like going really fast. Like everyone's like, oh, look, a clown, a funny clown. And I'm like, that's me. Just a regular clown. And so that was like a really funny thing. But then that video, like, you know, it was pretty shot for shot, you know, we made it nice mm-hmm. and that one
yes.
went. And then that one kind of like low level viral.
How many, it's a great video. How many hits did it get?
I think now it has like close to 300,000, which like yeah. for a comedian at my level is, I would say shock and awe.
No, it's great.
That
it's,
much.
I would expect that.
Yeah, and it's really funny because it's graphic content, so it's like not very shareable. Like, there's the retweet value of this is you got to be the edgiest person who also is like morally down to say sexual assault is bad.
It's
a very small group of people that are outspoken in the way that I am.
It also happens to just like hit you in a really fun. I mean, you can just go like, wow, that's funny.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. That's
no,
so nice.
No, it's true. So the first time you did it,
So the first time I did it live, well, the circumstances were really good because I did it. So when this very famous person said, who is, you know, a admitted sex offender, is like, I'm going to start doing comedy again. And it's just working, just booked at the best club in the whole world. I was like, I'm going to start doing comedy as my character making fun of this person. So then I started doing it live and I like made this like public announcement that I would only be performing as Penis CK. And I was like, I don't even know what I'm going to do. Like, I didn't even have a plan on what to do as Penis CK.
Oh, you mean so you made that commitment
before you even thought
about it. That's fascinating.
I was like, I got to do it.
Oh, fascinating.
And then like slowly this character, this act like came out of it, which now I would say I'm very proud of the act. It's like
yeah.
7 minutes long. It's tight. It's got jokes. At the beginning of it, it was mostly just me asking if I could jerking off and then being like, it's crazy I do this, right?
Well, no, I mean, yeah, it is. It's wonderful. So what was the reaction like at the first show? Were you nervous or did you?
I was incredibly nervous. Like I said to the audience, I was like, this is at best performance art and at worst assault.
Where did you do it the first time?
The very first time I ever did it, which is so crazy, was at the Creek in the Cave, which is mm-hmm. insane
the most
to one
boy,
person.
Which is the...
I mean, a lot of guys do comedy there. It's just an interesting place to do it. I think you've kind of touched on that. But the owner of the Creek in the Cave is actually very supportive
yeah,
of me and Penis
yeah,
CK.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's her name?
Rebecca Trent.
She's awesome.
She's been very
Shout
helpful.
Shout out Rebecca Trent.
She's been very yeah. helpful and very, she was down to book me.
Yeah.
And I did this show, daytime, 5 o'clock show. No one was there. I did it basically for silence and like five dude comedians who were just their mouths were just open.
So awesome.
They were just like, what is even happening right now?
Awesome.
And then I made my best friend, who's a comedy producer, go with me and film it.
Mm.
And I also was like, and also go with me so no one like harasses me. I can be like, look, me and my friend are just trying to get out of here. I was pretty scared I was going to get harassed. But I didn't. I didn't. Everyone was just like, that's insane. That's mostly people's reaction. Like, they don't want to talk to me about it. They just are like, you're crazy.
Right.
And I'm comfortable with that. I'm like, I just don't want to be harassed.
Right.
So I did it. And then I went to a show right after, which was her show. It was in this small bookstore. And it was mostly female comedians on. It was all female comedians on the lineup. And then the audience was like very small as well, but very supportive. They loved it. It went great.
They loved it.
It was, and when I was like, okay, so this is at worst going to go like that and at best like this. And that first night I was like, that's how it's been the whole time.
So you were all in after that.
Yeah, it was easy to.
So what was it like touring with it? Like what kind of?
The best shows were like amazing. Like got big rounds of applause. You know, like now at this point when I do Penis CK, then at the end of it, like I go into saying like I'm a survivor of sexual assault. Like I think it's fucked up that we don't care more about this. Like. Why is it that I'm having to fight for saying this is wrong by taking on this, you know, character?
Right.
Like, that shouldn't be how it is, basically.
Did you?
So then that there's like a, you know, an emotional part of it that like people connect to people.
Right. So you kind of help them understand what you're really saying.
Right. Right. I break it down really
hard. That's smart.
And I break the tension. Like I say, you know, I do about like 3 minutes of jokes as Penis CK. And then I'm like, this is traumatic to do. Like I'm not having like the best time right now. Like it's interesting and I'm proud of myself, but like, it's not just like my, you know, my regular personality is very kind.
So you make it accessible for the audience to process it. You know, you help them process like what you really mean so that they don't get the wrong, so they don't have to think it through.
And what I learned the most about doing that, like you're exactly right. Because I've taken this feedback that I've gotten from people and tried to add it to my experience in this show. And so the thing that I do most of all is because I have heard this as a feedback and I, you know, I'm saying it now just in case also, because I truly do mean it. There are some people who watch this Penis CK content and people in the shows and they're survivors of sexual assault and they are triggered.
Yeah.
And it's very triggering and it can be triggering.
Yeah.
Because I'm not only, you know, reenacting sexual assault that they could have faced, a sexual assault I've faced. I've been jerked off in front of like that. And I can't really, you know, put myself in that situation anymore because I've taken ownership of this act. But I do say, if you're a survivor of sexual assault, I know that you could be sitting there right now being triggered. And I just want to say, I'm sorry.
Wow.
And, you know, right this second, I totally understand if you're like, I didn't really like that. I didn't like how it made me feel at all. But like maybe, you know, go home, think about it. Maybe in like 5 years, you'll be like, actually, I was thinking about it and that was pretty cool of her. And also maybe you won't feel that way at all. And I totally get that too.
So you put all the ethics and all the, your commitment to it and the, you're very respectful with something that
I want to, that's like not what that. I'm trying to accomplish. So it's like, I have to be aware of like the fact that that's something that's also could be happening and is happening. And I'd like to apologize to those people because that's not my intent.
Right. So you have it in a really good frame.
My intent is to bring attention to something that they have suffered from. And if you say something that someone has suffered from, they'll probably think about how they suffered and that will make them feel bad.
So, what kind of reaction, like, did you get heckled? Did you, like, when it goes negative, like, what kind of stuff happens?
I like to call them boys in a huff.
Boys in a huff.
They leave mad. They make sure they do the little chair, you know, I'm getting up and I'm leaving. But to me, like, you know, a lot of it is, like, that they maybe have had no experience with sexual assault at all. And they're very uncomfortable. Like, this is like a simulated assault. Like, this might be their first engagement with sexual assault. They might be sex offenders. They might have been victims of sexual assault and men in general, when they're victims of sexual assault, there's almost no outlets for them. Like, I got to give it to them. There's a lot that could be happening inside of them.
Well, you have a healthy way of not taking it personally, and like, you're committed to...
How could I take being penis decay personally?
No, but I mean, you're committed to doing something. You're taking a risk to do something positive, if you ask me.
Oh, that's very kind. Well, I mean, it's definitely a risk, because I got banned from one comedy club.
Really?
For doing
it. In New York or where?
In Austin, Texas.
What happened? Did they yell?
We were supposed to do one of our tour shows there, and our tour manager asked if I could do the character, or no, she didn't. She said I would be doing it, I think, and the booker was like, no. And I was like, hey, like, that's my act. Like, you're censoring my act. Like, are you telling me I can't perform at your club? And they were like, no, you can't perform that at our club. And I was like, okay, well, that's, you're banning me from your club. And they're like, yeah, I'm glad you like understand what's happening. I'm like, okay.
I'm glad you get, like, your great career is ruined, this small club and wherever.
Right. But it did make the local scene very upset that I was like, hey, this club banned me. They're not cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Everyone was like, you bitch. We don't even like your thing you're doing. And I'm like, that's a hilarious reaction, guys.
Did you get a lot of social media backlash or that kind of backlash?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, as much positive support as I get, which is like honestly overwhelming. Like whenever I'm sad, I think I should print a binder and just carry around a binder of all the wonderful things people have said to me.
Have you had people reach out to you?
Oh, like hundreds of
people.
What
kinds of things?
Oh, things like, okay, like when I was talking about people being triggered, like I put out that I'd like to apologize to anyone who was triggered by me. And people were immediately, I got like 5 messages that were like, hey, I'm one of those survivors that was triggered by your content. Wow. But I love what you're doing and I think you should keep doing it. And I hope one day I can watch it and just laugh.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like,
oh, wow.
I'm like gonna cry.
Oh my God.
I know, right?
Moving. It's really moving. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, like, is every comedian in this industry going to be like, Kelsey's the coolest? Obviously not. I hate sex offenders. It's a shocking amount in comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I know rapists who are national headliners.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like an upsetting cause. And like, people don't want to put it together. They're like, do we know? I'm like, we know.
Yeah.
We know they're a rapist.
Yeah.
We know. And you're still booking them and working with them. It's like so sick. So it's like, I might not be working with everyone for right this second, but I'm like, I would so much rather be getting these like sincere things than never really be connecting with anyone ever.
Well, you are helping people. I mean, for real. And so what kind of feedback is really from the comedy community?
Well, the comedy community, there is a lot of people who really like Brett Davis.
Brett Davis, the special. He's
a hilarious
Brett
character.
Is brilliant. He's a the show is great. I watch that show on TV or on YouTube or whatever. He's great.
And he's someone who's like always been so supportive of my comedy in general. And so then him being supportive of Penis K was like, I mean, it's just so, you know, I'm such a fan of him.
No,
so.
Yeah, me too.
It's like so nice of him. But so there are comedians who really like it. And obviously, like, I was booked on like 40 plus shows as Penis DK.
Wow.
So it's like there's a community that's very supportive of this.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly women, mostly minority people of color, people in the LGBTQ plus community. And it's like, those are my people.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
That's who
I want to be, except trying to work with and get the acceptance of.
And is there a guy, a dude community? Like,
Okay.
So what's that feedback?
The toxic masculinity group of comedy is, I would say, a little bit annoyed with me.
Do you feel like there's like some undercurrent they're talking about it?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
It's not the worst. I don't care.
No. Oh, good.
So it's like, that's, I'm sure, even more upsetting.
Oh.
Like, I just am like, look, I know you think you're like big hot shit in comedy, but honestly, on a moral level, it seems like you're going to deteriorate yourself pretty soon. Like, you can't keep being mad at this, like, lady trying to do what's right.
Oh, hilarious.
Like, how so mad can any, that make you?
Have you had any big comedians reach out to you either way? Or?
Oh, yeah. I've had, like, I've had some really, really nice, the, like, one of the producers of Desus and Mero was like, we love this. Like, that's wonderful. Super. And I was like, oh, what a great, cool show. Like, that makes me feel awesome. I would never name my people who hate it.
But there are, like, some well-known comics that have, yeah, like, what people, would they say?
People who are, like, writers for television shows.
And it's like, why like, would I'm, they care? You're not I'm even like, on
I mean, doing... I would love to say, like, they're so much more successful than me. It's, like, hilarious they have interest.
Yeah, to like, be negative. That's how I feel. But what kind, what is, how's the negative manifest? Is it like you're not funny or?
Oh, yeah, definitely you're not funny. Definitely a lot of that.
They say like.
And then a lot of like, I can't even believe this is being allowed to be on shows I'm on. Like this, like very entitled elitist. Like, this isn't what comedy is.
Oh, my God.
And it's really funny when people react that way after they watched me. And I do not mean this in any unhumble way. I mean this as humble as possible. Absolutely crush and make people laugh super hard dressed up making fun of a sex offender. And then they're like, it's not comedy. And it's like, well, if it's making people laugh, bitch, I think it's comedy.
That's so awesome. You're really scaring them. You're making them really uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. And the thing that people are saying, like, I'm like, wow, this just does not seem like it's about me, dude. It just does not. Like, your negative feedback is like, you just don't like it. It's just not comedy. You hate that I'm talking about this. Like, that's cool. Like, I hate a lot of people's comedy. You like don't have to. Why are you bothering to tell me?
Right.
I'm like, and on some level, like, I like it because I'm like, okay, I don't want to work with you ever. Thank you for making that very clear.
Do you feel like you've made any sacrifices, any opportunities?
No. I think I was very...
Probably the opposite?
I was very aware of how stacked the system is against me and people mm-hmm. like me who are, you know, not going to participate in looking a certain way. Or saying a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
if you want to sexualize me, like, you're going to have to work pretty hard. Mm-hmm. Like, I mostly wear sweatshirts. Like, I'm not, I don't play the game, you know? I was just aware of the fact that, like,
right.
It made more sense to me to just do whatever I wanted to do because I could never bend myself to get those opportunities.
Right. So you weren't like thinking, this like, is going to be a good career opportunity. That wasn't part of the plan.
No. I mean, I was really sad. There's like a festival, a big comedy festival for comedians. And like, I was up for it a couple years in a row and my boyfriend got it. And I was so sad I didn't get it. And I was so confused. Like, what could I do to be better? Whatever. And then I was like, listen to other women who have gone on to do way better things than that festival. And then they get the opportunity to do the festival.
Mm.
And it's like, you have to prove yourself to a level that you don't need it anymore.
Right.
I was just like, oh, so I'm going to have to prove myself to that level no matter what. I might as well not even give a fuck about it.
Right. No, that is a really smart observation about all creative careers or anything really.
And then also it was like, you know, women asked why they didn't get this festival. They're like, look, I'm a great working comedian. Why aren't I getting it? And like the booker of it, who is still like the booker of it, would just be like, have you thought about wearing tighter dresses?
Literally said that
to a woman's face. And it's like, yeah, prick, I don't want to work for you. You seem like a fucking dickhole.
That's shocked. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just like amazed how, I'm not shocked by the concept. I'm shocked about how direct.
Upfront, yeah. Well, it's like how, you know, Louis C.K. can be like, I masturbate in front of my coworkers, still let me be a national headliner and into your homes and ears and hearts.
So do you think that Louis C.K.
I said it too. But,
okay.
To be clear, penis C.K., is not about one man. It is a
Absolutely.
Criticism on a culture that mm-hmm. allows women mm-hmm. to be put, mm-hmm. women, anyone, mm-hmm. in a lesser position. Because mm-hmm. men get sexually assaulted too. It's something we don't talk enough about. I'm down for that conversation.
Yeah,
it is traumatic.
Absolutely.
But it is a criticism on how the industry refuses to handle something that is an epidemic.
I that makes so much sense to me. Do you think that the inspiration for Pino CK, that person knows? Do you think he's aware of this?
I mean, people always ask me if I want to do shows with him, and I'm like, no, I don't want to hang out with a sex offender. I mean, like, if you
really?
Can, if you can make it happen, I guess, like, I'm not gonna not think about it because that's interesting. But also, like, no, I don't want to. My point is, I don't want to work with sex offenders.
No, but do you think that? I mean, just curious. Do you think that like somebody
he
told
knows
him
about
it?
I mean, he has to know about it in terms of like, you know, do we want to sue this girl?
Like, or yeah,
you know what I mean.
Somebody must have mentioned it to him, right?
I mean, business... it's just because I'm in comedy,
yeah,
and business... it's annoyed so many people.
Like who's it annoyed? That's what I can't even understand.
People who are legitimately sex offenders and also protect them.
People in comedy,
yeah, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot. You know who you are.
So you think like that it's really the toxic masculinity culture, which is kind of running the at least financial,
I mean,
the financially successful aspect of the comedy
world.
It
would just be insane not to be like, look, Harvey Weinstein, a known serial rapist, is the head of Hollywood. Bill Cosby was the most famous comedian alive, and he's a serial rapist. Louis C.K. is... like sexually assaulting like half of the women working with him.
So
like,
those are the people who are probably
entire industries that are dedicated to looking the other way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I bet he knows.
I mean, there's no way he doesn't know.
Yeah. 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 That is really, really pretty funny. What has your mom seen it?
Oh yeah.
What's your mom say?
My mom said, when the first video, my mom said, oh yeah, we saw your viral video.
What did your parents say?
But they were just like, they thought it was so, they knew that's how ballsy I am. So they weren't like surprised or anything.
Did they think it was weird?
No. Were they
good with it?
I worked the entire year leading up to doing Pino CK to try to get the high school that I went to and the all-boys school attached to it to teach sexual assault education.
Wow.
So they were not surprised.
Oh, wow. So you've really paid your dues as far as being a sexual survivor advocate.
I am.
Beyond comedy.
I mean, I would love to say yeah, because I mean,
yeah,
I'm definitely an advocate in a way where I'm like, yeah, like, I'm glad I kind of pissed you off so far as to let's have this conversation now that you would never have before.
So you've gotten involved with your school in Texas, high school in Texas. Have you had any
emails from those people that are affected by me talking about this are emails from, you know, 14 to 18 year old girls being like, I got raped and I never ever thought I could tell anyone. This is like, you know, mm-hmm.
Gone there and spoken.
Yeah.
And done all that. That's wonderful.
I started a petition and then the petition got like a lot of attention. It got mm-hmm. like 5,000 plus signatures in a very small community.
Wow. Petition to?
To teach sexual assault education to the boys.
Oh, wonderful.
Because I was like.
I think I read about it. Yeah, wonderful.
That's nice.
That is a big deal.
Yeah.
That is really good.
I mean, like, let's be honest about it. Like, boys are committing these crimes at a really high rate. Let's teach them not to.
And that was before you even did live with CK.
Yeah, it's really notable.
So you really have that in you. That wanting to help and wanting to
call it out. It's really easy for me to do this character and feel good about it because I'm like. I am getting more attention for this cause that is affecting one in three women and one in six men or something like that.
So I know this wasn't your...
Every day.
Sorry, I talked over you.
No.
I got criticized once by one of my fellow hosts. Don't talk over people.
Oh, no, I need it. Cut me off.
No. anyway, so I know this isn't why you're did it, but has it helped your visibility, do you think, as a comic? Help your career?
The reason I think it's helped the most is that, like, when industry people who are not sex offenders, who are, like, just great industry people, because there are those, too.
Yeah,
they definitely exist. They were hardworking people. I think they see, oh, my God, this girl is ballsy as shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not something it seems like a lot of comedians are. They're mostly just so huge pussies.
And so you feel like it has helped you stand out? Has it helped you get booked on some things that you might not, that you have, you know, that you think came out of that?
Well,
have you had anything tangible?
I mean, I feel like I've done a lot of the same really great shows that I did as myself.
Yeah.
As Penis CK. Yeah, you're so doing it's well. Like, yeah, definitely. Like, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
That means that this character is just as good as my regular self, which is like, yeah, that sounds about right for me.
And what's it like for your boyfriend? what's it like for him? Say his name again. I'm like blanking on it because I'm on the air.
I almost feel bad because we talked about it.
Do you
want to
talk about it?
His name is Martin Urbano.
He's really great.
He's fucking so fun. I mean, he's the funniest person I've ever met.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's his take on it?
He like loves, you know, he supports this character a ton. Mm-hmm. Like the only thing that makes him, and it's truly sad, it makes him sad, is that he sees people's opinions that are maybe like very aggressive and negative and like just really missing my point. And he's like, wow, I don't want to work with those people. And like, I think he just didn't realize how much of that there was.
Ah, because he's a dude.
Yeah. And he's also a real sweet dude. So
yeah.
Like, as far as like, no one fucks with him.
So in other words,
if you fuck with him, you're like a psychopath. Like you fuck with literally everyone because he's just like not asking for it at all.
Mm.
Like at this point with Penis EK, I got to be honest. Like I have to not be surprised at criticism.
No, that's why it's so great.
Yeah, I have to be like, yeah, you don't like it. That's not surprising.
But has it pointed out to him that there's some toxic masculinity that...
I mean, he was aware of it for sure, but I think he just didn't realize what it really looked like and what it mm-hmm. felt like.
Yeah.
Because it's very painful.
Dude privilege.
Yeah.
You know, we all have our own privilege. There's nothing wrong. I mean,
and
yes,
also,
we can't help it. That's
and
who
also,
we are.
He has the privilege of just being like a really knockout stand-up comedian.
Well.
So like technically he's so great. So he was always worried about my character. Like, oh, you need to make sure the jokes are really tight. And I'm
right.
like, it's more of a think piece. And he's like, you know, just make sure it works as comedy.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, I see what value that brings to it because it gives it some legitimacy.
So
to
he
also
was
work really
a good person to help you develop that character.
Oh my God, absolutely.
So he made a big difference
and
in that.
He could see the way comedians saw it is like I was going into comedians, you know, house and making fun of their God.
Right. That's really funny.
I mean, it's hilarious. Like,
so anyway, we got 7 minutes, but I want to like get to what's coming up next too. So what I want to talk
like
about the show you have coming up.
I feel
up,
like I wasn't very funny on this radio show.
No, this isn't a funny radio show. Sometimes it doesn't have to be.
I just feel like, you know.
Oh, you were advocating.
Oh, yeah, I was advocating too hard. I wasn't telling enough jokes.
I'm sorry.
I'm funny. I swear
that's
to fucking
so funny
God.
That you feel that way. No, we were talking about you are funny 99.9% of the time. And this show is to really inspire people and to find out what like the real deal is.
Okay,
and
so
I
at
feel
least
like,
I fit the theme. Okay,
yeah,
that's
and I
nice.
Also, I also feel...
You're so lovely. That's
oh,
nice.
Oh, you're sweet. No, you're fabulous. I think this is fascinating. But like the thing is that I do think what I'm getting out of this is like the depth of your commitment to really doing something tangible and substantial about sexual harassment or sexual.
I mean, I think it's just like sexual harassment, sexual assault. You
sexual
know?
Assault. Yeah, just, you're like actually you have a deep. So this is a very, why I think it's so, why you're able to make this so fabulous and so funny is because of all the truth. Like, the best humor comes from truth. And so you really have this as a truth. And since I really did want to know, and I think if somebody really pokes into you and tries to really get you to talk about it, what's going to come out is like your deep truth about how you really, this is a very important issue to you.
Oh, that's nice.
That you like to feel that you're comfortable with that. So it's not funny. It's not funny at all. That's what's so great about it. That's what's so funny. So I gotta like, I want everybody
to the way you say it. It's not funny. It's not funny at all.
Not funny at all. So let's
I quote you on that?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
So funny.
So we want to promote the show that you're doing.
Oh, yeah. I think and you're coming to it.
I'm coming to it. That I think it's gonna be sold out. I think the show's gonna be sold out.
You know what I've heard good things so far, but a lot of people have reached out to me and told me they bought tickets. So
I think it's going to be sold out. So this isn't a plug. This is I'm doing you a favor about a show that's going to be really great that you should get tickets to today.
No. Before. Take it as a plug too, you know? You gotta come.
That's a little humility there. That's good. That's always good.
Don't think it's gonna sell out before you get a ticket.
Anyway, I think it's gonna be a great show. It's gonna be really fun. And it's called Penis. It's at Union Hall, which is, I think, the best place. I think it's the best place to see a comedian.
There. Because
they get really good names like you. And I mean, I've seen Chris Gethard there a couple of times. And I've actually did a show there myself once. I was on a show where I was some show where they needed a expert shrink or something.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah. So anyway, but it's
I gotta utilize that more. I gotta think of something to use a shrink for.
Anyway, so Penis CK and Friends, a night of mocking sex offenders for a good cause. And it's got Kelsey Kane, Rosa Escondo.
Right,
yeah, she's been on my show. I love her.
She's
great. I adore her.
She's writing for Forbes now, and I'm like,
is she?
Everything in the world makes sense.
Reformed whores.
We had some people added, some people dropped. So,
oh, okay.
Do you want me to say who's on?
Yeah,
it?
You okay. Do it then.
Okay, it's Reformed Whores. They're amazing musical comedy and Friends Who Folk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to make sure this show is really light and fun. And then our female comedians who are going to be making fun of sex offenders and maybe even impersonating and making fun of them are Glow Butler, hilarious, Claire O'Kane, Abby Govinden, Hannah Widener, and Sarah Kennedy, and maybe more.
So there you have it, folks. So it's at Union Hall, which is in the Park Slope area. It's a really, I got to tell you something. It's the best place to see a show. There's no question in my mind. It's really intimate, but really like well produced. So go there Thursday, April 18th. Doors at 9:30. $8 in advance. $10 day of the show. We're also going to give a good friend of our show, Dave Hill, somebody who I've known since I started doing psychotherapy with comedians. He actually really helped me out in the beginning. Dave is like just brilliant and hilarious and unique. And I always think that Dave should be like, you know, like the net, he should have like a Trevor Noah type. Like, why isn't Dave? I always say when I see Dave, I don't know, this is like probably the worst thing to say, but I'm always like, why aren't you like more famous?
Oh, man.
But I've
That's
known him
too
for
much
a long
to say to someone.
Is that? But I've known him
why
since.
Why aren't you more famous?
No, but I started saying that like 10 years ago. I don't think that anymore because he's had like two books.
It's flattering also.
No, Dave is a really, I mean, at the same time, that was a long time ago. I shouldn't say that because he's like really successful now. He is. But I mean,
he's like majorly successful.
He should be a movie star, comedy famous.
I mean, I agree with you.
He should be Amy Schumer famous. That's all I mean. Yeah. I hope you get that right, Dave. I think you know what I mean.
I think he's listening and he'll.
I'm
be
not
flattered.
A comedian. I don't know what I'm saying. So anyway, he does this great show at QED. I was there. It's mostly improvised. And go there. There's a show on Wednesday, April 3rd, April 10th, April 17th, April 24th. Thank you so much for listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit on Radio Free Brooklyn. Go to radiofreebrooklyn.org.